high school, I was part of a mixed class. They're going to say, Emma, what do you mean a mixed class? And what I mean is that half my class was Ashkenaz and half my class was Sephardi. I went to school with a lot of Syrian Jews, which for the most part didn't make such a difference. They're all very nice, slightly different cultures, but especially when it came to learning, most things were the same. We learn the same Chumash, we learn the same Navi, we learn the same Jewish philosophy, we learn the same math, science, art, and history. But then came along halacha class. And in halacha class, usually it was even still okay. We were still able to make sense of what everyone kept and learn all of the different opinions. But when we got to the topic that we are going to be learning tonight, I remember being so confused. Because when you're learning halacha in high school, most people are drawing on their own experience of what they know that they do in their own house. And the problem is, when half the class does one thing in their house and half the class does something else in their house, things get pretty confusing. So as we were learning through the sources, I just remember thinking, wow, this is pretty confusing. And as I was preparing this week, I still think this is pretty confusing. But we're going to learn the topic together. And based on the principles that we've already discussed, hopefully this is going to build on them in a clear and understandable way. But just to know that it is a confusing topic. So if anything is unclear, please stop me. Hopefully we'll come out with a little more clarity than I did way back when. Okay, so tonight's topic is not bar not. What are we talking about here? Let's say you take a parv pan and you cook a piece of salmon. And now you take the salmon out of the pan. So salmon is parv. You cook it in a fleishig pan. You now put it into a meat dish. So from parv to meat. Right now we're okay. The problem is you now want to eat that fish with dairy. Okay? So yes, ideally should you have not used a meat pot, a meat plate in the middle? Sure. But that's what happened. You cooked it in a parv pan. Now you put it onto a fleishig dish, and now you want to eat it with dairy. What is going to be the status of that piece of fish? Are you going to be able to eat it with dairy, or are you not going to be able to eat it with dairy? So we begin here in source number one in Maseches Chulin. Itmar, dagim sha'alu ba'ka'ara. If you have a case where there are fish that were cooked in a pan, Rav Amar, asur la'achlan bekutach. You cannot eat them with kutach, which is a dairy food. Vishmuel Amar, mutar la'achlan bekutach. You can eat them with kutach, this dairy food. Rav Amar, asur. Why does Rav say it's not allowed? He says, notin ta'amhu, because the meat pan will have given taste into the fish. And therefore, you can't eat that with dairy. Vishmuel Amar, but Shmuel says mutar, that it's allowed. Why does he say it's allowed? Notin ta'am bar notin ta'amhu. He said this is not within the category of regular notin ta'am. Rather, this is in a unique category of notin ta'am bar notin ta'amhu. Amar Chizkiya Mishum Abaye. So he says, what do we conclude? The halacha is that fish that are cooked and put into a fleishig pan, you could then eat along with kutach. So we have to define is what is this idea of notin ta'am, bar notin ta'am, otherwise known as not bar not. It's shortened down to not bar not. Sometimes you hear that colloquially. This is what it's talking about. Notin ta'am, bar notin ta'am. So what was the initial idea of notin ta'am? That if you cook chicken in a pan, the flavor of that chicken is going to absorb into the pan. So then, if you were to cook a piece of cheese in that pan, it would theoretically absorb the taste of the chicken from the pan, and that would be cooking meat and dairy together. However, what is this idea of notin ta'am bar notin ta'am? That he says the flavor is He says, in this situation, we're not talking about putting cheese into the pan and having to have it absorb from the chicken. We're saying that you previously cooked meat in this pan. So the flavor of the meat absorbs into the pan. Now you're taking something pareve and you're putting it into the pan. What you're saying is that the flavor would have to absorb from the pan where it's already secondhand back into the fish and be strong enough that it would be significant. So what Shmuel is saying here is that once it's already been absorbed into the pan, and then from the pan back into the food, the flavor is distilled enough, sorry, not distilled, diluted enough that it's no longer going to be a problem. So that's why we say it's not notin tam. It's not just the absorption of flavor. It's notin tam bar notin tam. It's an absorption that comes after another absorption, like it's the son of the first absorption. So once there are two levels of absorption, we say that the flavor is not strong enough, and therefore that food would be permitted to be with the op eaten with the opposite type of food. So again, if you make pasta in a fleishig, or fish in a fleishig pan, or here we first said you make it in a pareve pan, put it onto a fleishig tray, and then want to eat it with dairy. That is going to be okay because of notin tam bar notin tam. Now, there would have to be the two levels of absorption in order for the flavor to even transfer. And at that point, the flavor is not strong enough. But as I just corrected myself, what we were talking about here in the Gemara in Chulin was specifically a case in which it was cooked in something parve. So it's cooked in parve and then transferred while still hot to a meat plate. And then you want to eat it with dairy. But what happens if you were to cook the fish in a fleishig pan and then want to eat it with dairy? So for this, there are three approaches. Okay? So approach number one is one that is brought to us by Tosfos, is also an idea of Rashi that is also cited by the Rivan. So this is in source number two. B'shem Rashi Peirsh Rivan Chotno. So this is the opinion of Rashi as quoted by the Rivan, his son-in-law. Dafka alu sharu, aval nish nit bashlu asur ke, kechad ta'ama chashiv. So he says, specifically the case that we are talking about is one in which you placed it from a parve pot into into a fleishig plate. So he said it's one where you're making that transfer. However, aval nit bashlu, but if it was cooked within the fleishig pan, kechad ta'amahu, then it would be considered as if it was one transfer of taste, and therefore it would not be allowed. So he's saying it specifically has to be that it was cooked in a way that was allowed and then put onto a fleishig plate, and then you want to eat it with dairy. If it was cooked within fleishigs itself, that would then be problematic because it would, he says, the taste is much stronger then. Approach, so that is the idea that no, it would not be allowed if you cooked it within the opposite. So now if we look at approach number two, which is the one brought by the Beis Yosef, and in the name of many Rishonim, including the Rashba, the Ran, and the Ra'avya, that these discuss that even if a parve of food, such as fish, is cooked in a meat pot or pan, one may still eat it with dairy. So let's look in the Beis Yosef in source number three. Dagim rotchin miyad la'achar shesalku min ha'ish. So he's reminding us what our situation is. There's boiling fish that immediately after they're done cooking, they are taken off from the fire and they are put into a fleishig plate. Harashpa v'haran hiskimu. That if we said it was okay in that initial situation where it was finished cooking and then immediately while it's still boiling, it's poured into something that's fleishig, you would still be allowed to eat it with dairy. That hiskimu dibenishtab lu shari, that also, if that's the way that it was cooked, it would still be allowed. Ella shenir emi divrayhem, she'ina mechalkim bin natzlu lenitbashlu. They don't make any distinction between whether something was boiled or whether it was roasted, boiling meaning that there's water involved. V'chinir emi divrei ra'avya. V'zakno shekatzav hamordechai. V'chinir emi ma shekatzav b'hago'ot ashiri l'ri. Nir ah halacha l'maaseh de'ein chiluk ben alu l'nit bashlu v'hakol shari. So they say here, you could potentially make a distinction between roasting and boiling, and if it was actually cooked in the wrong pot or if it was just transferred over to that sort of plate after cooking. He says all of it is allowed. It's all considered to be equal. V'chein kibel mirabbeinu tam shehurekin halacha lemaaseh. That this is what we learned from Rabbeinu Tam, that this is how we paskin halacha lemaaseh. This is practically how we paskin. V'im hayu mechalkim bein tzliya lebishul. Lo hu le lemish tik mine v'chi nir'a shehu da'at ha-Rambam. And if they would have made a distinction between roasting and cooking, then they would have said something about it. So it says cooking is allowed. So it's saying we don't need to make a distinction between cooking and boiling and roasting. Any form of cooking in the wrong pan would still fall under the rule of notin tam bar notin tam, and therefore would be allowed. Okay, but now we have source number three. So the first approach said totally not. You cannot cook it in the opposite pan and try to eat it with the opposite type of food. Approach number two said yes, in all situations, you can cook it in one and eat it in the other because of notin tam bar notin tam. So approach number three is going to give us the middle approach that's going to make certain distinctions, allow certain things to be allowed, and certain things will become aser. So the Rush in source number four states, V'b'sefer ha'truma hitir yirakot v'kitniot shenitbashlu b'kedeira bat yomach ho'levet rakshet tehi nikiyami basar. So he says, in the Sefer Truma, it allows for certain vegetables and legumes shenitbashlu b'kedeira bat yoma that were cooked in a dairy ben yomo pot but it was cleaned out from all milk, that you would be allowed to eat it with something that was flesh egg. So even if you were to say that perhaps if it was roasted, it wouldn't be allowed, then it's bashlu shari, but if it was boiled, it would be allowed. Mishum de'ika, so he says, if you wanted to make a distinction between roasting and cooking, perhaps you would say that roasting would not be allowed. That if you roasted something on a fleshing pan, then you could not then eat it with dairy. But when it comes to boiling, if you cooked something in a pot, so there would have had to not be only two, but three transfers of taste. From the item into the pot, from the pot into the water, from the water into the next item, he says that's too far of a stretch, and that we allow. Shlishi nitzlu aser. So he says in the Rush in source number four that that is his conclusion, that roasting is not going to be allowed because there's only these two transfers, but when it comes to boiling, that is something that's going to be allowed. Because there would have to be those three levels of transfer. Again, from the food to the pan, from the pan to the water, from the water back into the food. And he says once it's that extended, that we say that it's going to be okay. So there was a few of those different opinions. But it's important to clarify that here we're specifically talking about a part of food that is being cooked. This is different from if it was a dairy food that went into a meat pot, a meat food that went into a dairy pot, or even chametz when it comes to Pesach. So the Ran clarifies this in source number five. So he says we can only allow this klal, this rule of not bar not to apply in a case where the food that is inside would be allowed. So he says the reason for this is we believe that the taste is really weakened, that once it would have to go through all of these steps, of transferring into one thing, transferring back into another thing, that the taste would be so weak. But an item that is already forbidden, like if you were to take non-kosher food, then the same would not apply. So any case where there is any flavor at all, it forbids forever. So if we believe that the flavor is still going to be strong enough, then we are going to have to make it usser. So this is specifically talking about a par of food, cooked in one or the other, not about a dairy food cooked in a meat pot or a meat pot, meat, a piece of meat cooked in a dairy pan. That is not this situation. So now we're going to look at the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch in source number six. The Shulchan Aruch seems to rule with approach number two, the one that totally allowed eating these foods with the opposite. So our situation is that we have fish that is cooked or roasted in a pot, that it's a meat pot, but it's been well washed. There is no oily leftover. There's no fat that's stuck to it. You could eat it with kotach with this dairy food. Mishum de heavy notin tam bar notin tam de heitera, because of the call of notin tam bar notin tam, v'im lo haita ritucha yafa. But if it wasn't washed out well, im yish b'mamasha al piha kedira yoter me'echad b'shishim dagim asur lo'ocham b'kutach. So she says, this is all reliant. He says, this is all reliant on the fact that the pan was cleaned out well. If the pan wasn't cleaned out well, then you would have to make sure that the concept of 1/60th applied. Like if it wasn't, sorry, excuse me. If it wasn't washed well enough, if the amount of residue that was left on the pot is more than 1/60th of the fish, you wouldn't be able to eat it with dairy. So it's saying, really here we're talking about, we haven't distinguished yet between ben yomo and eino ben yomo, if the pot was used within its 24 hours or it was not used within 24 hours. But what we are saying is that it does make a difference if it's cleaned well or if it's not cleaned well. This is not giving you the ability to say if there's actual meat on the pan that it's not going to be strong enough to transfer back into the food. So we said this is all reliant on the fact that the pot is clean. If the pot is not clean and there's residue, that is going to have to fall under the property of batel b'shishim. It's going to have to be less than 1/60th in order for us to allow us to eat this food then with dairy. Okay. So now I want to look in a piece of the Ramah, that the Ramah seems to be more stringent than the Shulchan Aruch concerning cooking and roasting, and appears to follow approach number one, which is that cooking would not be allowed, that if it was cooked in one, it could not be eaten with the other. Just interesting to note, as I started off this year with saying, it's different for Sfardim and for Ashkenazim. The Shulchan Aruch is our leading posek for, it is our leading compendium of Jewish law. But the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, was Sfardi. So in the end, his Piskei Halacha are the Piskei Halacha for Sfardi Jews. The Ramah, who wrote the gloss on the Shulchan Aruch, which are like the notes that are integrated into the Shulchan Aruch, he is the Ashkenazi Posek. He is the one that we follow for our Psak Halacha. So the Ramah in source number seven seems to be more machmir than the Shulchan Aruch was in source number six. So he says, Yesh machmirim b'tzliyah v'bishel la'asur notin ta'am bar notin ta'am. So he says, some are more machmir when it comes to tzliyah, to roasting, and to bishel, and to cooking. La'asur notin ta'am bar notin ta'am. So some people are more strict when it comes to roasting and boiling in regards to notin ta'am bar notin ta'am. The general minhag is to make it asur lechatchila, that you should not lechatchila from the outset cook it in this way, that you shouldn't ideally cook something fleishig if you're planning to eat it with milching. Vidafka leachol im chalav habasar atzmo. Aval litim bekli shelahem mutar lechatchila. So he says, but what are we really talking about here? We're talking about lichat, when we talk about lichatchila, lichatchila and bidi'eved, that in the ideal situation, in the bidi'eved situation, where we say in the lichatchila, we would make it aser, but in the bidi'eved, so after the fact, we would allow you to eat this food. But if you just want to do, you want to cook something in a fleishig pan and you want to put it onto a milchig plate, that is going to be mutter lichatchila, the chein nahagu. If you didn't boil it or cook it originally, so it's raw, Rakalaf bikli shel basar. Mutar lo'ochlo ad im chalav atzmo. So he says, this is all talking about when it's just the pans, it's just the utensils. But he says, when we're talking, and when something is hot, something's cooking, or it was transferred while it was still hot, but he says, if you just have something that went into a fleishig pan, and you now want to eat it with a dairy pan, so he says that's going to be mutar lechatchila. That's going to be allowed in all situations. So according to the Rama, in the first section of the quote, lechatchila, we are stringent concerning cooking para food in a meat dish, like approach number one, that it should not be eaten with dairy. But b'di'eved, after the fact, it is permitted to eat the para food with dairy. But what exactly do lechatchila and b'di'eved mean in this context? Does it mean you didn't intend to cook it in that pan? Does it mean you didn't intend to put it onto that plate? Did it mean that at the end of the fact you didn't mean to eat it with dairy? What is this lechatchila and b'di'eved? So the Shach comments here, v'haminhag la'asor lechatchila. La'achlo b'kutach u'b'di'eved mutarim notam b'kutach. So he says the lechatchila b'di'eved is not talking about when you started to cook it. It's talking about what you eventually intend to eat it with. So he says, lechatchila, even if you cooked a fish in a par pot and then you transferred it to a fleishig pan, the idea of lechatchila would be that lechatchila, you shouldn't eat that with dairy. That in an ideal situation, if you can decide everything here, you should not eat that with dairy. However, b'di'eved, if you already cooked it and it already happened, and you already ate it with dairy, or you already mixed it with dairy, that's what it specifically talks about. Most people are more aware than that, that they remember before they actually start eating it. But let's say you want to make a salad with it. I don't know. I don't eat fish, so I don't know. I feel like people put fish in salad. So let's say you cooked a piece of salmon in a par of pot, and then you transferred it onto a fleishig plate. And now you want to put that into a salad and you mix it up all together and once it cooled down, you sprinkle cheese on the salad and you're like all ready to eat it. And you're like, uh-oh, wait, I cooked the fish in a fleishig. It went onto a fleishig plate. B'di'eved, you would be allowed to eat it together. So we're not talking about lechatchila and b'di'eved. According to the Shach, we're not talking about it when it comes on the front end in terms of the cooking. We're talking about intentionally eating it along with the opposite. So if you know that it was cooked with meat, it's the decision here of lechatchila versus b'di'eved is whether you specifically plan and prepare your meal to eat it with dairy, or you by accident mix it with something that's dairy and therefore end up eating it. So does everyone understand that we're talking about how you intend to then eat it at the end, not how you intended to cook it from the beginning?
Yeah, and I just have one question, which I feel like is combining a few lessons. What if the fleishig pot, let's say, is Eino ben Yomo?
That's going to be the next step. We're going to get to there in like 2 minutes probably, because right now we haven't clarified that if this is ben Yomo or Eino ben Yomo, right, and whether or not that would make a difference. So yeah, hold tight. We're going to get to that in a minute.
Thanks.
Okay, so now we want to further understand the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch seems a little bit lenient. Again, the Shulchan Aruch said, "Dagim shenitz bashlu o nitzlu b'kedira shel basar b'chutz sayafeh." If you are cooking or roasting a piece of fish in a pan that has been cleaned very well, there's no extra residue there. Mutar la'achlam b'kutach. You can take that fish from a fleishig pan, you can like cook it in a fleishig pan and directly go and eat it with dairy. So we're trying to understand the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Is he talking about that lechatchila, b'di'eved, in every situation? How do we understand this? And the Shach explains the Shulchan Aruch in one way. Some people are going to agree with this understanding of the Shach, and some people are not going to agree with this opinion of the Shach, even within Sfardi Poskim, because as we said, the Shulchan Aruch is our source of all halacha, but the Psak is the Psak of Sfardim. So some Sephardi poskim are going to agree with the Shach's explanation, and some are not going to. So the Shach says in source number 9, "Aval lebashlan lechatchila b'kedira shel basar kedilo ocham bekutach asura filu lemechaber v'siyato." The Shach says, however, to intentionally lechatchila from the outset cook in a pot that is fleshing when you intend to eat it with milchig. He said, "Asura filu lemechaber." This is not allowed, even according to the Shulchan Aruch. So he says, if it's a matter of you cooked it in a certain way, and now you're deciding whether you can eat it with dairy or whether you can't, that's going to be a debate about whether you're able to do this lechatchila. But now the Shach is saying that the Shulchan Aruch, when he says there's no difference between cooked or roasted, that you would be able to eat it with the opposite. He says, if one intentionally cooked something in a fleshig pan, you then cannot go and, like, you should not intentionally cook in a fleshig pan to eat a dairy meal. That is not something that's going to be allowed. That we would say bidi eved, perhaps that would be allowed. But from the outset, you shouldn't cook in the opposite to eat it with the opposite. Like, you should try to keep all of the types together. So the Sephardic poskim disagree as to whether to accept the Shach's interpretation and the Shulchan Aruch as the practical halacha. According to the Alkat Yosef, the Shach's opinion is not accepted by many achronim, and one may cook parv food in a meat pot, even with the intention of eating it at a dairy meal. So if we look in source number 10 of the Alkat Yosef, v'lachin mutar lechatchila la'afot pot b'kli shel basar ben yomo. So he says, mutar lechatchila, it is allowed from the outset, la'afot pot b'kli, to bake bread in a kli, in a pan, shel basar, that is ben yomo fleishig, al da'at la'achol ha'pat im ma'achalei chalav, even if you want to eventually eat this bread with dairy. O litagin beita b'machavet b'shari ben yomo, or you can boil an egg in a pot that is ben yomo, b'shemen chadash al minat la'achol achar kach et ha'beita im gvina, even if you intend afterwards to eat this egg with cheese. So the Alkot Yosef says most people don't agree with the Shach. Most people read the Shulchan Aruch at face value that whether you cook it, whether you roast it in fleishig, you would still be allowed lechatchila to eat it with dairy. Okay. However, but many Sfarani poskim, such as the Ben Ish Chai, the Kaf HaChaim, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, do rule like the Shach that one may not cause not bar not lechatchila. So in source number 11, Vigam l'ditan de'azlinan betar maranzal, eno matar levashel lechatchila hakedira shel basar ben yomo, de'ada'ata de'hachi kedei la'achlam b'chalav, ella rak im nitbashlu b'di'eved, mutar la'achlam lechatchila b'chalav. So he says you cannot use the principle of not bar not lechatchila. You cannot set out to cook and say, I'm going to use my fleishig frying pan in order to cook this thing when I know that I'm going to eat it with dairy. He says, not bar not is a klal, is a rule that helps us out bidi eved. After the fact, are we able to see if there was not bar not? But we shouldn't start out from the outset to create situations of not bar not. We have dairy sets and we have meat sets, and we should ideally aim to use them for what they are intended for. But we do have this concept of not bar not if after the fact someone realizes what they did. So the Ben Ish Chai says we shouldn't be causing it as an intentional situation, but if it happens, then we are able to apply not bar not. Okay, so now we have a question of not bar not with eino ben yomo utensils. So up until this point, what we are saying is that we're talking about a situation of notin taam. So that implies that it is within the 24 hours, that is within the realm of ben yomo. Because if it was outside of Ben Yomo, then we have a different call, which we learned before, which is notin taam lifgam, that we said after 24 hours, the flavor that is imparted within the kli, within the cooking utensil, has now become to the detriment of anything it would come to flavor than for the benefit of it. Because it's already going to be like old at that point. So, what is the halacha if a pot is not ben yomo? Might we be more lenient since the flavor imparted from the pot would be lifgam and not enhance the food? The Rama rules in this case that it is indeed permitted to eat para foods together with dairy. So let's look in the Rama in source number 12. V'cheinim hayahak klish and it's bashlu o netzlu bo lifgam. Once it's already not ben yomo, so the flavor inside has already gone bad. Shelo haya ben yomo nohagin hetzer lechatzchila la'achlol im min hasheni. So he says, Noagin heter lechatzchila, we are allowed to be nohig lechatzchila from the outset, intentionally, la'achloim ha'min hasheni, to eat it with the other type. Okay? So if you wanted to, let's say you wanted to make pasta. Okay? I feel like this one comes up a lot. So you wanted to make pasta, and you took a dairy pot that was eno ben yomo. It was not used within the last 24 hours, and you made that pasta, l'chatchila, you would be allowed to eat it with meat sauce, saying that it's not notin tam. It's not even, we don't even need to use notin tam, bar notin tam, because the original tam, the original flavor that has absorbed into the pot is one that is no longer relevant. It's one that at this point is lifgam, to detriment rather than to improve it. Here too, though, it is unclear how to understand the Rama's use of the notion of l'chatchila. Does he mean that it is permitted to cook a part of food in a non-ben yomo meat pot with the intention of eating it with dairy? Or does he mean that if one already did cook it in a meat pot, that one may eat it with dairy, but ideally one should not have the intention when cooking it? The Ashkenazi Achronim dispute this question, with the Gra being lenient and the Chachmas Adam being more stringent. So if you look in source number 13 at the Chachmas Adam. If the kli, if the vessel that you cook within was not used within 24 hours, but it is forbidden to cook in a non-ben yomo pot l'chatchila, according to eat it with dairy. We shouldn't just be mixing up these pots. If you're going to eat dairy, you should be cooking it with dairy. If you're going to be eating meat, you should be cooking it with meat. The idea of lechatchila, setting out to create a, to cook a food for a fleishig meal that was made in a dairy pot, is not one that is appropriate. And the Gra explains in source number 14, Ve'af bekedera ein iser lechatchila she'eno ben yomo ela mishum yezira atu ben yomo. So he says, and even concerning a pot that became treif, the one that is not ben yomo is only forbidden lechatchila, due to a concern based on that, on the one that is ben yomo, which is not the case here, where even a ben yomo one is permitted according to the strict halacha as mentioned above. So the Be'er HaGra, the Vilna Gaon, is saying, if you have a kedera, you have a plate, ein asur lechatchila she'eno ben yomo ela mishum gezira atu ben yomo. So he says the only reason that we would perhaps think to make it usur if it's not ben yomo, that you couldn't use it if it was not ben yomo, would be to protect the state of when it is ben yomo, when it is within the 24 hours, when it would be within a different set of rules. Masha ein kein kan de'af ben yomo mutar midina sheniskar la'ayo. So he says, but we don't have this af ben yomo mutar, because even when something is ben yomo, it would still be allowed. Okay, so the Gra holds that in contrast, that when dealing specifically with pots, there is no problem with using a non-ben yomo pot in this manner, even lechatzchila. Since even the requirement to kosher an actual non-kosher ben yomo pot is only an extra stringency to avoid confusion, as discussed in the previous year. Therefore, when we are dealing with a case of para food in a meat pot, one may certainly be lenient concerning a non-ben yomo pot. So now the Sefer HaKashrus rules that Ashkenazim should follow the opinion of the Chachmas Adam and may be lenient only where there is no other similar dairy utensil available for use. There has to really be a specific reason to try to be mixing up this dairy and these meat utensils. So the Sefer HaKashrus in source number 15. Kli b'sari she'eino ben yomo. So we have a fleishik pot that was not used within 24 hours. Yesh omrim she'gam kein lechatchila aser lebashel bo ma'achal parva. There are some that would say that lechatchila, from the outset, aser lebashel bo ma'achal parva, you shouldn't cook something that is parv in it, al minat lo'achlo ma'achalei chalav, to only then after intend to eat it with dairy. Ella imkein bishar hatzorach. You should only be doing this in a case of need. Kishein kli acher hamatzim l'bisholza. When you don't have another kli, when you don't have another vessel that is appropriate for this cooking. Okay? So what it really comes down to is that most likely if you end up cooking one and using it with the other, it's going to end up being okay b'di'eved. We still do not intend to use our kosher kitchens that way. Now, we don't intend to set it up that if we just need it, like that specific type of pot, we're going to take from the fleishig and use it for the dairy. That's definitely not what was intended, and we don't want it to get confusing. The more you're switching back from one thing to the other, the more confusing it could possibly get. So now we have one more scenario that's going to pull on the same concepts. So we will conclude this section on Nap or Not with the following question. What is the halacha if one mistakenly used a benyomo dairy spoon to stir a par of food, cooking in a benyomo meat pot? So what happens if one takes a dairy spoon and stirs a pot of noodles that is cooking in a par of pot? That is cooking in a meat pot. So you have a milchig spoon, you have noodles that are cooking in a meat pot, and you accidentally use that spoon to stir the noodles in the meat pot. On the one hand, perhaps this is also considered a case of not bar not, since there is no flavor of meat that ever directly comes in contact with dairy, since the food is pariv and the spoon and pot are merely utensils. On the other hand, the flavor of the meat emitted from the pot does come in contact with the flavor emitted by the dairy spoon. So the reason we would say that this would be allowed if you used a dairy spoon to stir a par of item in a fleishig pot is because the dairy and the meat are never actually coming into contact. But the way to say it the opposite way, the way that you could understand it in an opposite way, is that the meat flavor would go into the water and the dairy flavor would go into the water and therefore it would be mixing there. So the Rishonim dispute the halacha in a similar case where meat bowls were washed in a dairy basin with hot water. So let's look in that case in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 16. Karot shel basar shehudchu biyoreh cholevet. So we have fleishig plates that were washed in a milk basin, bechamin, in hot water, shehayad zoledes bahen, that it was so hot that your hand would be pulled back, that your hand would be burnt by it. Afilu shnehen ben yoman, even if they were both used during the past 24 hours, mutar, it would be allowed. Mishum de havile notin ta'am bar notin ta'am de hetera, because we have the concept of notin ta'am bar notin ta'am as a means to allow it. Vuhu sheyomar barile shelo hayashim shomen davuk bahem. But one thing to note is that it's important that there was no residue stuck to it. Ve'im haya shomen davuk bahen tarich shehe hamayim b'mayim samach keneged mashmo'ot shomen sha'al p'nei hakara. So once you run into a place where, if perhaps there was any residue there, the residue would have to be less than 1/60th of the entire thing. Like, we're not just allowed to rely on the klal of no tin ta'am bar no tin ta'am if one is being reckless and not cleaning it up as much as necessary. So if you're using a dirty meat pot, then we're going to say that that's going to be a different situation. But the Rama comments here and says, V'yesh osrim afilu ein shomen davuk bahem. The Rama says some don't allow this situation of cooking one to be eaten with the other, even if there is no residue stuck to it. Ela imkein, echad min hakilim einan ben yoman mi bli'at kli rishon, v'az kol hakilim mutarim. Aval im shneihem b'nei yoman v'hidiach otam b'yachad b'kli rishon, hakol aser v'hachino hagin v'ein l'shanos. So the Rama says, and some forbidden even if there is no residue stuck to it. Unless one of the utensils is not ben yomo from the absorption from a kli rishon, and then all the utensils are permitted. But if both of them are ben yomo and he washed them together in a kli rishon, everything is forbidden. So there is going to be a difference, not necessarily only in ben yomo and eino ben yomo, but if it's well cleaned or it's not well cleaned. Okay, so those are all going to be distinctions that are going to make a difference in terms of if you can use one thing with the other type of food. If you can use something cooked in meat to be eaten with dairy, if you can use something cooked in dairy to be eaten with meat. And finally, the Taz writes that the same dispute applies to using a dairy spoon in time inside of a meat pot with power of food. So here they talked about the dishes that you washed together in one basin and in the other basin. But here it's going back to our initial question, which is if you use the dairy spoon to stir power of food in a fleshy pot. If you cook fruits, sorry, vegetables in a dairy pot that is bat yoma that was used within that day, v'techabubo kafshal basar ben yoma, and you put inside of it to spin around a spoon that is ben yoma, v'ein samach neged hakaf bat yoma usrim ze etzah afilu shnehem mikuk. So he says this is a very common situation. If neither was Ben Yomo, you would have much less problems. If one is Ben Yomo, it would still be allowed. But if both items are Ben Yomo, the spoon and the pot, and there's not enough to say that the spoons are overwhelmed by more than 60 times the spoon. If you get into that situation where they are both ben yomo and there's not more than 60 times their amount in whatever is containing it, osrimza edza afilu shneihem mikon yafa. We don't allow this even both if both were cleaned off. Well, ואז שזה ממש דין כערות שהולכו ביורש שזכר השולחן ערך מכל מקום, כתבתי שהוא מצווה ביותר. He says this happens very often. That's why the Shulchan Aruch wrote about it. That's why I wrote about it. Okay, and then just to conclude, here's a summary of the different opinions. So if you look on the last page of the section, the case, if there is power of food cooked in a ben yomo meat dish. Okay, so again, power of food cooked in a ben yomo meat dish, Shulchan Aruch or Sfardim would paskin that you may eat it with dairy. And the Ramah or Ashkenazim would paskin that you may not eat it with dairy lechatchila. If it was already mixed up together, then bidyeved you would be able to eat it. The next case, cooking parv in a meat dish with intent to eat it with dairy. So the Shach ben Ish Chai and other Sephardi poskim in their camp say it's forbidden. But the Alkut Yosef and the Sephardi poskim that are in his camp say that it is permitted. According to the Ashkenazim, this would not be allowed. So if you, sorry, for that situation, for Ashkenazim, you can't do it to intend to have it with dairy, but if you already cooked it, then bidyeved, you would be allowed to eat it together with dairy. The next situation, cooking parv in a non-ben yomo meat dish with intent to eat with dairy. According to Sfardim, it would be permitted, and according to the Chachmas Adam, it would be forbidden lechatchila, but according to the Gra, it would be permitted. And lastly, a dairy spoon used in a meat pot with parv food. According to the Shulchan Aruch and Sfardim, it is permitted, and according to the Ramah, everything is forbidden if utensils are both ben yomo. Okay, so I told you there's a lot of concepts that play into each other here. There's not bar not, there's ben yomo, there's eino ben yomo, there's no tein ta'am lifgam, and we see how we've learned each of these building blocks together, and now we're starting to put them all together about how does the idea of absorption of food lead then to the idea of cooking one food and eating it potentially with the other food. The idea of batal b'shishim, that when something is less than 1/60th, it is considered to be negligible, that continues to come up here again and again. So all of these scenarios sort of integrate all of the concepts that we learned up until now, and they bring them together into a comprehensive question that addresses the different situations that could come up in our kitchens.